That was NPR's Carrie Kahn. She's in Huntington, Utah, and she's on the line with us now. Carrie, I'd like to ask you more about that news conference by Robert Murray, the owner of the mine. In your piece, you mentioned the sometimes raw emotion and anger as Murray spoke to reporters. We heard a bit of it in that cut of tape, that anger and that emotion. What was it like there, especially when he started criticizing specific members of the press corps and various experts?
Well, Michelle, it was definitely uncomfortable. He spoke for more than an hour. You know, at times he was empathetic and compassionate to the plight of the families, but he really set the tone from the outset. He started off by giving a long defense of the entire coal mining industry, that he was providing all Americans with inexpensive fuel, that he was contributing to the country's competitiveness. He attacked global warming experts. He saved most of his most vehement attacks, however, for the United Mine Workers of America. Murray runs several mines in the West, and all are non-union. He said that reporters seemed to be more interested in assigning blame and giving airtime to unscrupulous so-called experts more than reporting on the intense rescue efforts at the mine. And then, you know, shortly after the press conference, two members of Congress called for the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration just to take over these press briefings here in Utah. They said that the families have a right to the most credible, objective, and up-to-date information. And I'm sure later tonight when Mr. Murray gives another briefing, he'll have a lot more to say about that.
What about the people there, the other workers, the families? That's coal mine country out there. A lot of people have a stake in those mines. How did people react to Mr. Murray's statements?
Well, the press briefings are pretty far from the town. But this is a small community, and word will get around. You know, a lot of the rescuers are workers at the mines themselves or at nearby mines. So everyone in town either knows one of the trapped men, a relative, or a rescue worker. I did speak with a city councilwoman and the mayor of Huntington here. Both said all businesses are asking, you know, keep calling them. What can they do? The Red Cross is helping families. They're providing three meals a day to them. And three of the trapped miners are Mexican nationals. And there was a representative from the Mexican consulate in Salt Lake City was here hoping to try and provide assistance to their families.
Carrie, you mentioned that this could take up to 3 days to actually find the trapped miners, that they're bringing in these listening devices now. How long do they think that the miners might be able to survive?
It's really hard to say. They have no idea. You know, that's like the hardest question here to get an answer to. The only way that the men could be surviving now is if the cave-in, you know, occurred in such a manner that it left a big enough chamber for the men to breathe. Apparently, the company officials tell us that there's plenty of oxygen in the mine shaft, and it's just whether the collapse occurred in such a way that would leave a large enough space around the men. And, you know, no one knows the answer to that question yet.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm sure we'll be hearing much more from you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was NPR's Carrie Kahn talking to us from Huntington, Utah. That's near the site where the six coal miners remain trapped 1,500 feet below ground.